I was so thirsty. I just wanted one drop, like I said. Just one drop, like the rich man said, would have been so precious, but you never get to drink a drop again. You imagine. You know, you have no purpose. Absolutely no purpose. You're just a useless wasting away in hell. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, there's no work, nor device, nor wisdom, nor knowledge in Sheol. Nothing. You have no purpose. You just exist in torment for eternity. This is what hell's like. And so any one of these things should kill you, but you have to endure all of them continuously. I understood that I was down deep in the earth. I knew that there was a whole world going on up on the surface, and that most of the people up here do not know that there's a whole world going on down there with millions of people that used to live here on the surface. And I thought, they don't even know that we're all down here suffering. You know, I mean, that's a tormenting thought. After the tribulation, death and hell are cast in the lake of fire into outer darkness. But right now, I believe that the scripture points out that hell is in the center of the earth. And there's so many scriptures that talk about that. I'll just give you a couple. Ezekiel 26:20 talks about, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit with the people of old time, and set thee in the low part of the earth in places desolate of old with them that go down into the pit. Number 16:32 talks about, when the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them all up alive, and they all went down alive into the pit. And the word pit is Sheol. And Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. He spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Hell from beneath is moved down deep into hell. There's so many scriptures about where it's at, down deep. Amos 9:2 talks about if you dig into hell. I could go on, but I always get too crazy with scriptures, so I'll keep going. I understood that there were different degrees of punishment also, that there were people in worse areas than I was in, you know, different levels of torment. Remember Jesus said, ye shall receive the greater damnation, inferring there's a lesser. Or it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city in the day of judgment, inferring there's a less tolerable. A servant beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. Luke 12:20-47. Hebrews 10:28 talks about of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall you receive. I have been redeemed from the lowest hell. There's so many scriptures about the different degrees of punishment. But none of them are good. Everything there is awful. There's no good area in hell. Okay, I don't know what level I was at. I knew there were worse levels. But where I was at was bad enough. And these are all the things that everybody has to experience. Another thing you have to experience is, remember Jesus said, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, there's maggots everywhere. I was by this tunnel. When I was by the fire, I was by a cavern, like a tunnel going up. And all around the cavern were all different demonic-type creatures. Some were 3 and 4 feet tall, some 12 and 13 feet tall. Some were the size of maybe this big. There were spiders that were 3 and 4 feet across. Real spiders that big. I'm not exaggerating. And snakes everywhere and gross maggots crawling all over everything. And, you know, and remember Jesus said, where their worm dies not. Well, if, you know, you see, this is kind of gross, I know, but if you see a dead animal on the side of the road and maggots are eating its flesh, well, the maggots die when the flesh is consumed. I don't know if you knew that, but the maggots will die after the flesh is consumed. Well, in hell, that's why Jesus said, where their worm dies not. And he used the word maggot. You see, so the worm, the maggots, never die because the flesh is never consumed. So you have to endure that. I mean, the bodies are infested with maggots. Isaiah 14:11 talks about being lying on a bed of maggots where the worms are under thee and cover thee. And uses the word maggot. So, I mean, is that gross? I mean, the body's being eaten by maggots, burning. You're breathing in that stench. You don't have enough air. You have no one to talk to. You'll never be with anyone again. You're thirsty, hungry. You never get to eat again. Never get to sleep. All these things that you have to endure in hell. This is what goes on. And the fear level in hell is so high. The fear level that I felt from, you know, these creatures that can destroy you. You're being, you know, suffering all these things. I was so scared. To give you some idea of fear. Okay, we've all had some level of fear, but I'm going to relate to you an experience that I went through that maybe can help you to see the kind of fear level you experience in hell. But I used to surf a lot. We were surfing when I was 16. This was in Cocoa, Florida, and I was out with a bunch of guys. Anyway, a school of sharks came by. We were told there were about 9-foot tiger sharks. The news had told us. I could see that they were about that size. Anyway, the guy next to me got his leg just ripped off. A shark grabbed him and tore his leg right off. And blood everywhere. It was so gross. It was horrible. So all of us guys were scrambling, trying to paddle to the beach, to get to the beach. Right about then, a shark came by and grabbed my board and bit it right in half. And he grabbed my leg and pulled me down under the water. And right then, at that moment, the fear level that I experienced, I mean, you can imagine how scared you'd be at that moment. Okay, just about to be eaten by a fish. It's disgusting. Well, that fear level pales in comparison to what you feel in hell. That wouldn't even register. Okay, so you can imagine the kind of fear you have to endure in hell. The shark let me go, by the way. Praise the Lord. Thank God. I wasn't a Christian then, but I became a Christian right after that. So, so I haven't surfed a lot since. But, like my wife said, I wanted a glass of water. Water was so precious. I'm telling you, water is so valuable. And when I came back and she gave it to me, it hit me, and I looked at it and said, that's life in a glass. It's like life in a glass, because there's no life in hell, and to see life was so refreshing. Anyway, so we really value water now. We're both water-aholics. As a matter of fact, I think I'd like to have some. Thanks, Mike. We have a bar at our house. I collect water from all around the world now, so a bit extreme, I know, but anyway. Anyway, so, you know, before I get to the good part about meeting Jesus, because that's really the best part I want to explain to you and what he said, because words really fall short of describing how horrible hell is. Even this little video we're going to show you is way short. It's much worse. We're going to show you a little 3-minute clip of what hell might look like. Myself and another person that had experienced hell, I'm not the only one. There's been other people that have seen hell and have written books about it. One of the people is someone you might have heard of, John Bunyan, who wrote the book The Pilgrim's Progress, a famous book. Well, he also had a vision of hell, and he wrote a book called Visions of Heaven and Hell, where he was escorted by an angel through hell, and he saw the same things I saw. I didn't know about his book till after our book came out, but he's a credible person that had written about it. But anyway, so the video was done by myself and another lady, where we took pictures of scenes of different Hollywood movies and try to string them together. A couple things to point out. One, when you see a man being drawn up to the gates of hell, and you'll see this demon. Okay, I wanted that in there because the demon that he described, that they show, that they depict on the screen, is exactly what the one looked like in my cell. So when you see that, I want you to pay attention to that one. It's when the guy's being sucked up to the gates. It's actually Kenneth Hagin's testimony, a little piece done by Joel Osteen's church, that little section. And then there's two other scenes. There's a lady running, and I don't know how the lady could run because you don't have any strength, but hell's a big place, and I didn't see it all. Okay, so there's different torments for everybody, but this other person said she saw this woman running, and the spirit of fear would chase her. And as it caught up to her, it would burn off all the flesh off her body, and she would just collapse, and then the flesh would reform on her body, and she'd get up and run again, and the spirit would come again. And so for continuously throughout eternity, she's running from the spirit and being burned like that. Another scene was a lot of crosses. You see people on crosses. People say, how could there be crosses in hell? But she said these were the people that mocked the cross and laughed at the cross. So they're hung on crosses. So anyway, there's all kinds of horrible torments. This will hopefully give you some idea. It's only 3 minutes, so bear with me, and then we'll talk about the good part, Jesus. So anyway, I know it's just Hollywood, but it's a lot worse than that. But this gives you a little bit of a visual of what it's really like. I mean, people are down there like that right now, suffering. You know, so I am so grateful that I'm a Christian. Don't have to be there. Amen. It's a really real place. I mean, I know that's, like we said, Hollywood, but I'm telling you, hell is a real place, like the Bible said. The sad thing is, you know, God didn't make it for man. He said in Matthew 25:41, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He didn't make it for man to go to. But man has to make a choice in life to choose Jesus, or he will end up there. Anyway, as I was in this place and I was looking at the people in the pit of fire burning, there were individual pits of fire alongside the big pit. The pits were about 3 or 4 feet across. The big pit was about a mile across. And I don't know how I understood that. Like I said, I could understand sizes. But I don't know, just to give you one little scripture, Zechariah 5:2, in his vision, the Lord said, what do you see, Zechariah? And he said, I see a roll flying through the air, and it's 20 cubits by 10 cubits. He happened to say the size. So I thought that was interesting that God didn't tell him, he just happened to say it. So you just happen to understand distances and sizes and things. I knew I was down deep in the earth. I knew I was about 3,700 miles down. So again, how I knew that, I don't know. But we know that the earth radius is about 4,000 miles. So I was not far from the center. No chance of ever getting out. No hope whatsoever. Would never, ever get out of this place. Never see my wife, never talk to anybody. These are the things. So I was observing all these people burning and these demons all around the cavern walls, and something began picking me up and I began being raised up. So I went in through this tunnel. It became absolutely pitch black because there was just a little bit of light by the flames. And when I went into the tunnel and going up, I was looking at these huge creatures wondering who could fight off just one of these demons. They're so powerful. Those things were in my mind. I just was so depressed and sad and upset. And, you know, I'm telling you all calmly now. But then I was panicked, crazy, out of my mind, really. But, you know, I'm not a good actor, so I can't act that way. I'm too reserved anyway. So, anyway, as we began up this tunnel, about all of a sudden, about halfway up, it seemed like, this bright light showed up. And I instantly knew who it was. I didn't have to ask. I just fell at his feet, and I said, "Jesus." And he said, "I am." And I just collapsed. I just felt like I died. And I can't explain it. I don't know if I did, or I just went out in the spirit. I don't know what it was, but the Lord touched me. And then I came to, and I just wanted to stay at his feet. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to leave. I was so grateful. You know, 1 second ago I was in hell. In my mind, I was there for eternity. And now all of a sudden, I'm out, and he placed it back in my mind that I was a Christian. So I understood that I was saved and I didn't have to stay there. And I was so, so grateful. I can't even tell you words to explain how you feel. I just want to stay at his feet and worship him. Anyway, I didn't really want to ask him any questions, but thoughts started coming to my mind. I started thinking of some things, and he would answer my thoughts. And the first thought I had was, you know, "Lord, why did you send me to this horrible place?" And he said, "Because many people do not believe that hell is real. Even some of my own people do not believe that hell exists." I was shocked at that statement. I always thought, you know, as a Christian, everybody believe in hell, but not all Christians do. It's amazing. We've been finding this out. He said, "It's not my desire for anyone to go there." I thought to myself, "Lord, why did those demons hate me so much?" And he said, "Because you're made in my image, and they hate me." Remember, John 15:18 says, "They hated me before they hated you," Jesus said. So they have a hatred for you that's just unbelievable. And he said, "I want you to go and tell people that it's not my desire anybody go here. I did not make it for man. I do not want anyone to go there." Well, I thought, immediately I thought, "Yes, sir, I'll go, whatever, you know, the King of Kings says, you know, instantly want to do." But I thought to myself, "But Lord, I don't want to tell them about this experience. They're going to think I'm crazy or had a bad dream." That thought popped in my head. The Lord answered my thought and he said, "It's not your job to convict their hearts. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's just your job to go and tell them." And at the time I thought, "Yes, sir, I'll go and tell them." Well, of course, after I got back, I didn't really still want to tell anybody. You know, I wanted to witness, like, to everyone. Everything that moved, I wanted to witness to. But I didn't want to share what happened to me with anyone. I just thought, I'll keep it to myself. I'm not going to put it out there for anyone to ridicule in any way. It was special to me. But God had other plans. And I thought, "Lord, you know, why did you pick me? Why me?" I just thought that. And he didn't give me an answer. So I can't tell you why he picked me. I'm the least likely, in my opinion. You know, I'm not a Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. I've just been a realtor all these years. You know, hell is filthy, disgusting, and dirty, and I love everything immaculately clean and neat. And, you know, I know all of us like things neat and clean, but I'm like really overboard and fanatical on those things. So I can't stand the chaos and the loudness and all the disorder. And, I mean, I don't even like the summertime. That's too hot for me. So, but, you know, it's not important why he picked me. He, you know, it's, we all have something to do for God. He's given us all something to do. And he said to me, "People make excuses why they don't witness." He said, "They say, I didn't feel led." And I felt so convicted because I know I've done that many times. Now, I know we all have to be led by the Lord, but so many times we use that as an excuse because we really fear man rather than fearing God. You know? So we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Hebrews 12:28 talks about a godly fear. We need to have that kind of fear so that we will be more bold and go out and share with people. I said, "Lord, why didn't I know you? Why didn't I know you?" And he said, "Because if you would have known me, you would have had hope. And I wanted you to experience what they feel there, hopelessly lost forever." You see, if I was there as a Christian, I would have gone, "Praise God, I'm getting out of here. You know, I don't have to stay here," right? But see, as an unsaved person, then I could experience what they feel there. No hope, never getting out. Isaiah 38:18 says, "Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth." John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So you see, you have no hope for the truth. And the truth is Jesus. He's the only one that could save you, and you have no hope for him. You see, so that's what he wanted me to experience. And that is really, it's worse than even the pain. It's hard to explain that, but when you have an understanding of eternity, like here we can't quite grasp eternity. You know, time we think of as a beginning and an end, right? A timeline. Well, in hell, you can grasp eternity, that it never, ever ends. So that kind of thought, see, on earth, we always have hope. You have hope that you could die to get out of it, right? There's some hope. But in hell, there is no hope whatsoever of anything. You'll never get out. You understand that. See, so these are all the things that, and that's one of the things that he really wanted me to experience was that hopelessness. That's why he blocked it from my mind. And then he said to me, the last thing he said was, tell them I am coming very, very soon. And he repeated himself. He said, I'm coming very, very soon. Now, I wish I would have asked him, Lord, what soon do you, you know? You know, we all wonder that. But I didn't have that kind of arrogance. And he wouldn't have told me anyway. Right? But I really felt in my spirit that he meant it's short. I really felt an urgency. Like, we don't have much time. We really don't.